This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media. I'm Managing Editor Andy Davis, and in the room today we have the full Bananarama of editors. Who are?
Elspeth from Studio Magazine.
I'm Lindsay from Kitchens, Bedrooms and Bathrooms Magazine.
And Rebecca Nottingham, the editor of KBB Review Magazine.
Okay, Lindsay, have you heard of Bananarama?
I've heard of them. I couldn't name you a song.
Oh, good God.
Are they older or younger than Boney M?
Younger.
The 80s younger. Bananarama.
Most successful female band, actually, until the Spice Girls, I think.
Oh, I know Spice Girls.
Oh, you're so young.
Honestly, I just want to give up now. Anyway, this week we're in full countdown mode to the KBB show, so we're going to detail a little bit more about what we'll be doing there. The show, of course, is on this Sunday. Very exciting. Yeah, I know. That is
very exciting.
We're building up to this for a long time. It's March the 1st to the 4th, which is Wednesday, obviously, at the NEC. And it's a very welcome partner in this very podcast, of course, as you've been hearing all about. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, about what we're doing, and we're also going to talk a bit about a subject a bit more close to home for us, which is how you as designers can get your projects featured in magazines. What do editors look for, and how do we make sure editors see your work in the first place? First up, we'll all be at the KBB show for the duration, and while we're there, we'll be recording live episodes of the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast every day. And we'd really like to get as many people along there as possible. Please, does that sound too desperate?
It's a little bit begging. We're going to be great. I think it's
going to be amazing. Yeah.
At this stage,
people
I'll take anything.
People be fighting for seats.
Do you think?
I think so, yeah. Well, I'm optimistic.
We're so professional sounding. Who wouldn't want to come exactly. And see us
bumbling
through?
There'll be no talk of bladder issues
cleaning
in the
toilets.
Live events.
No,
at the moment, I'm putting my mum in a taxi at the moment to get there. Anyway, we're doing it every day at 2 p.m. in the central bar, so if nothing else we'll be able to have a drink while we're doing it. 2 p.m. in the central bar, okay, starting on Sunday. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to do while we're there. We're starting on the Sunday, obviously, with an episode featuring the four of us. All four of us are going to be there on the Sunday.
That's obviously the best one to come to.
That's the best one to come to, yeah, because we're all four of us there. So you'll be able to hear us waffle on.
Lucky you.
And see us waffle on in person.
See how glorious we are in real life.
So what we're going to talk about there is something that comes up an awful lot, particularly when we write editorial and we talk to designers a lot, and it's about the wow factor. Everyone always talks about they want the wow factor, but what exactly is it? Can we put our finger on it? Can we define it? Is it simply that people know when they see it what they want? And can the best designers simply apply it instinctively? Yeah, so that's what we're going to try and do. And we're going to try to define it. Mm-hmm. So you don't know all this yet, do you?
Well, I'm busy trying to think what is the wow factor.
We're going to try and properly define it. Yeah. And, right, we're going to come up with a way of measuring it.
What?
Whoa. We're going to come
wow
up
factor
a wow-a-thon.
A wow-a-thon, I like.
We're going
it
to come up with the official KBB wow factor scale.
Oh, wow.
That all projects can be measured against. See, and there's the first one.
There is the first one.
I think it's really interesting because actually, what is wow? And I think it's a bit of a cop-out when people just say, I want the wow factor, and you're really throwing it onto the designer to create something.
Yeah. So you'll be able to go, well, that project's got a wow factor of four or something.
Yeah. And do you think at the end, if we have this huge audience, they can measure our podcast with a wow?
Don't open us up
to attack.
Because let's be honest, there's a very good chance we probably won't come up with it. But that's what we're doing on the Sunday. So that's at 2 o'clock on the Sunday. That's our first one. So you get, for some reason, it's either four of us have a drink and talk about the wow factor. Monday, we're going to get a little bit more serious on the Monday at 2 o'clock in the central bar. I'll keep repeating that because, Elspeth, it's over to you because you're chairing that one.
Yes, I am. I've got a really interesting panel together. We've got Hayley Robson from Daytrue, Diane Berry from Diane Berry Kitchens, and Richard Hibbert from KSL in Sudbury. And we're going to be talking about charging fees. It's a debate that has raged throughout the kitchen and bathroom industry and also between interior designers as well. I think in a recent survey that you did in KBB Review, 80% of independent kitchen and bathroom retailers said they didn't charge for their design work. So why is this still the case, and is there anything that can be done about it? Are designers undervaluing their skills, or is it simply too big a barrier for potential customers? So on our panel, we've got people who do charge and people who don't, and we're hoping to get a bit of a debate going there.
It's funny, isn't it? Because everybody would want to. Everybody likes the idea of it, obviously. Mm. because they spend a lot of time putting projects together that they then don't see the return on if they don't win that project to do. But lots of people just see it as a barrier to purchase.
Yes, and also just, is it something to do with this country that we do massively undervalue design, and should we all just be manning up a bit and asking for a bit more money? I don't know, that's not a very professional way of putting it, but I'm hoping the people on the panel will have slightly more.
When we've raised this in KBB Review, the overall response is it's got to be across the board decision, otherwise...
Yeah, there'll always be a competitor who doesn't do it.
That doesn't do it, and that's where the issue is.
Yeah,
I think it's about consumer awareness as well, because people might, especially if they're going around lots and lots of different showrooms getting lots of ideas and lots of quotes, at what stage do you bring that design fee in? Because obviously if you're quoting for a project as the designer, you're putting time and energy into that already. So, you know, sometimes a consumer might be put off if they're asked for a fee from one place, but
absolutely.
Not the next.
Yeah, exactly. At what point do you raise that? Well, you've all got good opinions on this, so I hope you're going to be in my audience.
I'll be
on
there
the day,
with lots,
cheering
of,
me on.
Lots of burning questions at the end.
But I think that'll be a good one.
That will be good. So that's Monday, 2 o'clock in the Central Bar. Tuesday, which should be really interesting because obviously we have our awards on the Monday night, but doing one of these on the Tuesday, which is, should be quite interesting, shouldn't it? And rather stupidly, I've put myself in for this one.
You're going to have some strong coffee. On
yeah,
the
I am. Well, one of the things I think is going to be really big at the KBB show is the smart home. I think it's going to be all over every appliance stand, and in fact, I think it's going to move beyond just the appliances too, and into some of the other bits of the home and the kitchen and the bathroom too. So, what is the smart home? Is what we're going to be talking about, and what opportunities does it present for designers? Does it give them a creative outlet? Does it mean that it can help them achieve the briefs that their clients want? Or is it just something that's so far beyond them they're just not interested? I think it's a really interesting debate to be had. So that's Tuesday, 2 p.m. in the Central Bar. Where is it, everybody?
It's 2 p.m. in the Central Bar.
Well done. Okay. So that's Tuesday. That's me. So Wednesday, Bex, you're chairing the Wednesday one. What are you doing?
That's right. I'm going to be joined by fellow editor Lindsay Blair.
She sounds very nice.
She's very really, interesting, actually. She's got a lot to say.
She's really good.
Yeah. And joining us on the panel is Tom Setchell, the Managing Director of Rugby Fitted Kitchens, and Thomas Plant, who is the Showroom Manager of Porcelanosa Solihull. And what we're going to be discussing is it's all about great customer expectations. You know, do the best designs come when there's full collaboration between the designer and the client? How do you manage that relationship to everyone's advantage and make sure that expectations are met and exceeded? And when do you say no to clients who think they're an expert in interior design thanks to, you know, social media platforms like Pinterest and Instagram? So I think there's going to be quite a lot to discuss there. And obviously, Lindsay, you're going to be looking at it from the more of the client's perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Because on the consumer side of things, obviously the magazine goes out to consumers and we're all about offering project know-how and giving them all the information they need to kind of get on with their renovation. And a lot of the time I'm telling them, you know, go to a designer with fully formed ideas.
Stick to your guns.
Yeah. Don't be led astray, etc., etc. So I think the debate will be really interesting between the consumer side and then the business side as well.
Yeah, of course.
What has changed a lot in the last 10 years or so, I think probably people do approach their projects knowing, having a much clearer view of what it is they think they want. Plus they have their own Pinterest page, like you say, with lots and lots of ideas. And the designer's job has changed slightly from being the educator in that relationship to being the captain trying to steer a very difficult ship. So I think that's going to be a really good one, I think.
They still have to educate, obviously, and that's where that's where the key
but that's
issue
the
is, isn't
but
it?
I think there's a very delicate thing there about slowly but surely convincing your client that they don't know anything.
Yeah, and also, I mean, at the end of the day, people, you know, designers want to make money. So it's kind of where do you get, at what point do you just give in as a designer and say, well, okay, you know, the consumer is right then.
But also you don't want the consumer to make a mistake knowing that a year down the line they're then going to be showing their kitchen and bathroom to their friends and everyone's going to be sort of thinking, oh, that's a shame that they missed out shaver sockets.
Absolutely.
Or they didn't want storage when they should have been storage. So sometimes the interior designer does need to really argue them down, actually.
So we've got four really good topics there, I think we've done quite well with them. And what's interesting is because obviously the KBB show is a sort of business and design orientated show, these are very much about the business of being a designer as much as they are about sort of the skills of design itself. So these are four really good ones. So they are happening. Where are they happening?
Central Bar at 2 p.m. every day.
Well done, Rebecca.
Yeah.
I kind of slightly feel like it starts because it's in the bar. So I don't know where I'm going.
It's in the bar.
So that's the Central Bar at 2 p.m. every day. If you haven't registered for the KBB show yet, go to kbb.co.uk and hopefully, fingers crossed, please, please, we'll see you there.
Yeah, join us, please.
Okay, let's move on to our other topic of the day, which kind of brings us on from a couple of things we've just been talking about, which is how designers can get their projects featured in magazines. So, Lindsay, you've got, I think, a list of tips and advice there that you're going to run through a little bit. So you, I'm going to hand over to you now. What are you going to tell us?
Well, I've got some advice, 9 tips, in fact, on how you as designers can work with the media to really promote what you're doing. At the end of the day, you know, you're designing amazing projects and magazines like Kitchens, Bedrooms, Bathrooms want to feature those projects. So I'm just going to talk you through how best to do that. And I'm hoping that some of the other editors in the room can help me.
What's going to be interesting is if we don't know half the things that you're talking about.
I'm busy writing notes
to me.
We're all sitting there going, okay. Oh, God, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
That's a good tip, Lindsay.
I think we should take two things right at the top here. One is that, obviously, KBB gets first refusal of any of these projects.
Yes.
Right, that goes without saying. So that's the price you have to pay for listening to this. Mm-hmm. And secondly is, your second best option is probably to spend some money on advertising.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that pays my mortgage. Anyway.
And mine.
Lindsay, away you go. What's number one?
Okay, well, first of all, getting your projects featured in a magazine is a brilliant advert for your business and you as a designer and your skill, and it's something that I think you should be really proud of if it comes to fruition. It's not a dark art. I think a lot of the times people think that, you know, getting your work in a magazine, in the media, is really difficult. And actually, I'm so happy to hear from people about their projects. And what's even better is I see when the project has been in the magazine, people then get in touch saying, actually, thank you so much for the coverage, first of all. And I had a really nice quote recently, which was, I was really impressed with the article and we have already had inquiries. So thank you.
Yeah, it really works.
Now, it does work, yeah. I mean, absolutely. From as long as I've been doing this, it sounds like we're trying to plug our own thing here, isn't it? But it really is the best shop window you can have. People absolutely. Still want to, they want to see this stuff and they like it, they want to buy more of it.
Of course.
And don't forget, people, when they're in that renovation project stage, you know, they're going out and they're buying magazines like KBB and they are looking for companies to get in touch with. So it's really like a directory. Not only are you showcasing your work and, you know, the trends that you're buying into and the, you know, different ideas you've brought to a project, but you're also, you know, having your contact details in there, and somebody might be just down the road from you reading the magazine and they might just pop in because they've seen it in the magazine. So really, I can't stress enough, it's really not a dark art.
I think people have this idea, I think, that magazine all look like The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah. Which, of course, we do.
Or the Daily Planet from Superman. They all think that's what it's like. There's just hundreds and hundreds of people sitting around, and actually there really isn't.
No, we're quite nice. The thing that I come up against when people are wanting to get projects in studio is I think they feel they've got to send in a fully formed feature. They've got to have written it all and just come up with a headline and, you know, really pulled the whole thing together. And actually, you can come to us with sort of some ideas and bullet. And I know you're going to go through all this, Lindsay, what we want from people, but you don't have to be a professional writer to send stuff in. We can pull that together for you, but we need to actually just know about it.
Yeah, that's our job.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We can't design kitchens to save our life, but we can write about them, yeah.
Exactly. So step number one is do your research.
Okay, cool.
So that means get the magazine that you're interested in having your project in. You know, if you're not sure, maybe go out and buy a whole host of different magazines. Look at the style.
Whoa, 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 whoa. what you should do is buy one issue of KBB
and then throw the others in WH Smith and put them back on the shelf.
And then buy lots of back issues of KBB.
But you're absolutely right, Lindsay. I really think you should go for a shotgun approach rather than scattergun. And, you know, some of the projects we get sent in to us are totally irrelevant to studio. You know, we primarily write about sort of residential but also hospitality design, and I'll get sort of factories or, you know, retail that has been sent in because clearly nobody's looked at the magazine. So know who you're aiming it to
That's
start
exactly
with.
Right. And flick through the pages of KBB and you will see that we don't tend to cover very kind of shabby chic country cottage kitchens, and that's because that's, you know, that might not be the market placement we are within. So it's important to really research the brand that you want to work with and ensure that your brand and your style of design really aligns with the magazine or the website that you're really targeting. And the audience of that magazine needs to align with your client base.
So point one then, of course, is know who you're talking to. That's point number one.
I think it's also knowing your objective. You know, sometimes people are sending things in, but they don't almost know why. I mean, the whole point of getting in a magazine is that you want to attract people to your business. So, yeah, if you're there looking for consumers to do their kitchens, then obviously go to a magazine like yours, which is specifically bought by people who are doing up their kitchens. If you are trying to attract property developers, then look at me. You know, exactly. Yeah. So know your objectives rather than sort of panicking and just thinking, you know, PR's scary and you've just got to send it to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And the next thing that I would say, so point number two, is to get in touch. Now, that seems really simple, but I would hazard a guess that a lot of people think that it is not that simple to have your project featured in a magazine. And if you're doing your research and you are looking through the magazine, you should know who to get in touch with. So, you know, my name's in the magazine, our names are in our respective magazines. The team at KBB's names and faces are in the magazine, so you know exactly who you should contact. So use a personal approach. You know, if you really want to build a relationship, use that first contact as a real, hi, this is who I am. I've found out about you and this is what I know about you. I think this might be of interest to you.
What would be key as well for me is obviously on the trade side, we have a bit of a different remit. We don't really cover projects as such, but we obviously look for good showroom design. But also I think if you know the products and know who your sister products are, so obviously if they're getting in contact with you with a residential project, Lynn, it's good to know that actually perhaps it would also work from a business perspective in KBB Review. So understand that Talis Media has all of these relevant
titles
and that actually you could actually hit all three magazines, but with just a slightly different focus. So
that's so on message.
And also, as Andy said earlier, we're not huge teams. You know, we are just quite individual people. You know,
and we talk to each other outside this podcast. We sit a few chairs away from each other, don't we?
We're all pretty friendly as well.
See, we only talk to each other if we're recording it. That's basically how it works.
Otherwise, we sit in stony silence.
So basically, in the magazine, you know, on website, thesethreerooms.com, you can find out who to talk to, and our contact details and email addresses are all on there. And if all else fails, pick up the phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, there's somebody in the office.
Yeah, I mean, it does go straight through to you if you email the editor.
That's right.
Yeah. There isn't a load of minions in between.
There isn't, no.
You and the rest of the world.
I don't know, Lindsay just sits there and people are rushing around, feeding her grapes while she lounges around at her desk.
She's so important, isn't she?
Right, what's next?
So point number three is basically send in what you've got. Elspeth, you alluded to this earlier, that you don't have to have everything in place to be able to have your project featured in the magazine. You know, you might just have snaps of a finished project that you've taken on your last site visit on your phone. And it doesn't have to be professional photography. As long as you've got some imagery and obviously you're close to the project, so you know what's happened, you've got the information, then send that in. I am absolutely for people sending in what we call recce shots. So basically you're on site, stand in every corner of that room and take as many pictures as you can, make sure to get all the different angles in, and then just send that in and just give us a bit of detail about what the project is, where it is, what sort of house it's in, what you've done, what's been the transformation.
And they are just snaps with their phone, isn't
it?
That's all you need, just a few snaps to get an idea of what that project
looks like. And obviously those snaps don't go any further than to our inboxes, but we use that as just a base to see what the project looks like for a start, and, you know, all the design details that you've brought to it. And then from there, if we like it, then we can organise the professional photography, you know, have it styled up, and then that's what eventually leads to the glossy feature in the magazine.
Do you provide the dogs and the babies?
I wish we could provide the dogs, but I'm working on that, Andy, for an office dog.
We definitely need an office dog.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So dogs and babies, yes, that is an excellent bonus if there are dogs and babies on shoots. Multiple dogs, extra points.
Do you think sometimes, I might be jumping a gun here, but do you think sometimes people think that the projects that get in magazines have to be the big spectacular ones?
No, absolutely. Whereas
actually
not.
What you're looking for are fantastic examples of things.
Yes, fantastic examples of what's happening now to give readers new, fresh design ideas of what they could do to their space. You know, people are extending and knocking through, and actually sometimes that doesn't result in a huge, massive kitchen. So I want to cover the whole spectrum between a smaller space right through to those vast open plans.
Because I suppose we're looking for fantastically designed examples that people can translate into their own project. So if most people have to deal with very small bathrooms, for example, so we're not only going to ever show massive, great, big, luxurious bathrooms. Why would we do that?
No,
same
exactly.
goes and kitchens too. So if something's a great example of how you've dealt with a really small space or a really awkward space, that's interesting too.
It might be just one thing that sells the kitchen or bedroom or bathroom for that matter. It might be that it's got a fantastic larder cupboard in the kitchen or a utility room, for example, or it might have an amazing covering on the bedroom wall, or the shower enclosure might be the best thing you've ever seen.
Or a bar.
Or a bar. Bar in the bathroom, why not?
Recognising a bathroom, yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's that sort of thing that will make that project stand out from the rest and give readers the idea that they can then integrate into their own project. I mean, some people might, and I have heard that people have gone into a showroom with a copy of the magazine and said, look, this is what I like, this is what I want, can I have that? Wow. But at the same time, people are more likely to pick and choose different ideas from different projects and then bring that into their own brief. Okay, so on to tip number four is basically sell it. So you've got all the information, shout about it. It's your project, you are the closest person to it. If you feel proud about it enough to send it into a magazine, then really your email or your phone conversation, however you get in touch, should really sell that project and make me want to put it in the magazine.
It's a narrative thing to that, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the story?
Don't just send it in and say, oh, I've done this project, here are the images. You know, tell me the story behind it. You know, is there something interesting to do with the homeowners? Have they, you know, just moved back from abroad or finally got rid of the kids because they've all gone to uni or whatever, and they've got an opportunity to really redo their house.
Right, do we call that the X factor?
It's the wow factor.
The wow factor.
It's the X factor yeah. effect.
Yeah.
But it might
yeah,
be yeah. that it's all sustainable
or
something like that, mightn't it? There's a little story behind it.
Yeah. The more story, the better, because that, at the end of the day, will become the feature in the magazine. And then, along with that, tip number five is don't stop believing. And if you just picture Journey...
Don't sing that, because
so
we'll have to pay.
So desperately want to sing that.
We'll have to pay for that as well.
Don't stop believing. So basically, this means that if you send your project in and whoop-de-doo, it's a yes, we like it, we're going to run with it, we're going to shoot it, and then you don't hear from us for a little while. So we have very long lead times. So what month are we in now? It's February, end of February, and we are now working on summer content, so June, July content. So we are working lots of months in advance. So if you don't hear from us for a while, it's because, you know, your project might be more suited to a winter issue, for example. But don't fear, we will be back in touch. If you are in doubt, pick up the phone again, drop us an email. Keep that communication going.
Yeah, it's one of those things I think there's the people have in their heads about how magazines and newspapers work, isn't it? It's all very immediate. Newspapers is, obviously. But people don't quite work out just how far ahead, particularly consumer magazines, work. Because I've been doing this a long time, but I still can't get my head around how we date magazines. It still gives me a headache every time. So the magazine that's out in March is actually the April issue. And then but we're currently working on the Christmas issues in the middle of July. It just gives me a headache.
Not quite yet. It won't be long, though.
Lindsay, can I just ask a question? Do you always take the photography, or do you accept high-res images from other people?
We accept high-res images as well. And obviously, you know, different businesses do it differently. Lots of companies do their photography for their advertising campaigns or for their website or just their own portfolios. And in that case, if it's, you know, beautiful imagery that's styled and it's good enough quality, then yes, of course, we
can
consider
that. But
then
therefore they need to make sure, especially as you're working so far in advance, that those images can be used at any time of the year, because certainly I've seen in the past people have sent in beautiful photography that they've paid professionally to be done, but it's got a Christmas tree in the back. So unless you were going to run that in your...
Just for the record, we never put Christmas trees in.
Okay.
Andy might kill me if we do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be very happy with that.
Okay, but some other example then of something that's very much made that kitchen seasonal,
totally.
And then obviously that once you can't use it.
Well, it could be just something as simple as having snow on the ground outside the window.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
it needs to be relatively neutral in that sense. But a lot of the time, you know, we work a lot with freelance writers and freelance photographers, and sometimes they're the ones who have sourced the project, and they come to us with the project and the photography and the words.
Yeah, there's various different channels, but yeah, direct relationship is great.
I think the only thing we ever ask for is that we're the first magazine that has it.
Yeah, so my next point actually is all about exclusivity.
I was preempting.
Line them up.
So the big word, I wish I could just have it printed massive above the team, is exclusivity, because, you know, we want to be the first magazine to showcase your amazing designs. So if we say yes to something and we want to put it in the magazine, then we just ask that. We don't see that in any other media outlet. So if you are working with us, please do just bear in mind that it might take a little while to put the feature in, but keep it for us, because we want to really make a splash when that magazine comes out. We want to shout about it, and we want you to shout about it as well.
And that's particularly true if we're thinking about putting it on the cover.
Yeah, I mean, the cover. And there's no greater pride, I would think, if your kitchen design or bedroom bathroom design lands on the cover. But, you know, the impact's lost a little bit if that image has already been seen by hundreds of thousands of people. Yes, there's a lot of waiting, but when we decide that the time is right, you need to be prepared. So we will then ask you for an interview. If the homeowner is available for interview, that is even better. But really what I like to do is put both the designer and the homeowner in to get both perspectives on the design. So, you know, have the information to hand, know what you want to say, and, you know the story that you want to portray in the feature at the end of the day.
And is there an issue that the designer needs to clear with their client, that the client is happy for their kitchen and bathroom to go in a magazine? Because you could end up going quite long down the line and then them turning around and saying, well, actually, I don't want it in a magazine. So you need to ask them that question right at the beginning.
Yeah, and the onus of that is really on the designer. If they're going to bring a project to us, it goes without saying that permission should have been gained from the homeowner to potentially go back and have a photo shoot. And again, if a photo shoot has already happened, that the homeowner is aware that the imagery could appear in a national magazine.
And we've had things in the past, haven't we, where they are, the kitchens or bathrooms belong to very famous people, but we never mention the very famous people because the designer clearly hasn't cleared that with the homeowner. I mean, they've cleared the fact that the project is in a magazine, just not identifying who the owner of it is. So we work with people to put out the information that they're happy to put out.
Yeah, and an important point in that is that you don't have to have the homeowner. You know, if they're happy to have the project featured, but they don't necessarily want to be in the pictures, you know, I understand some people are just not up for being in a magazine. If they don't want to give an interview, you know, you can bring the project to us and we'll speak to you as the designer about how the project came together and ask the questions about the design details. So if the homeowner isn't willing to do it, that doesn't necessarily rule it out.
Are there things that are total no-nos? Things that you just look straight away and think, oh, God, no, we can't do that one?
In terms of the design? Or
yeah.
Well, I would say at the minute, and it pains me to say it because they're everywhere, but at the minute I am inundated with dark blue kitchens. And it's because that's what people are doing. You know, the trend has really, really hit the ground, and it's hit the ground running. But magazines are all about looking forward. So I need to be able to showcase the next big thing and what is the next big colour and what are homeowners going to be doing in their home in the next year. Finally, my top tip is once that magazine hits the shelves, shout about it. Now, as I said earlier, it's such a proud achievement to have your project featured in a magazine, and I love it when people really do shout about it. And, you know, it's all over social media, it's on their websites, you know, people get in touch and ask for loads of issues to be sent to their showroom. Make the most of it, use it as that great marketing opportunity and really showcase the fact that, look, this is my project and it's featured in this magazine. How great am I?
Yeah, it's great PR for them, isn't it? As well as showcasing their actual work, it's showing that they're a professional company that's recognised by the national media.
Yeah, of course. And it might sound like there's a lot that goes into this, but it's really worth it.
It's much more straightforward than people probably think, isn't
it? And you're doing it every day, so it's just not a big thing, is it, for you?
And it's one of the best parts of my job is having a nosy around all these different.
That's the best bit.
Can I just say one more thing about this is a very on brand message alert, but the best way to actually get your projects featured in KBB Review is to enter the KBB Review Retail and Design Awards.
Oh,
absolutely.
Good.
Obviously, this year the awards is closed because actually this year's event takes place on Monday, but obviously we will be opening the 2021 awards in August, so look out for that. So again, it's really, really a good way of getting into KBB Review.
Yeah, and we featured them in studio as well, so yeah, double whammy. Yep.
There you go. So that's it for today. This is the last full episode before the KBB show begins on Sunday, March the 1st. So make sure you've registered your place at kbb.co.uk. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes we're doing there, and rate and review us while you're there, as it really helps other people find us and makes us feel good about ourselves. We'll see you in Birmingham.
See you there.
See you there.
Bye.